Yes, we've strayed off the point, and now we're walking across the water towards Big Chief Island. I wonder if any of that geography is still there. Where would a huge island go in a small lake? It wouldn't go anywhere. It would be there. The same place, the same spot. Roughly the same shape, because the rock is Precambrian. But I used to go there. And if I went there now, I might meet me coming around a bend carrying my .22 rifle. Me and Craig Van Cleef skulking around on the island trying to shoot each other to scare the shit out of the other guy. Yeah, it was not that we were going to shoot each other. It was just that we were going to scare each other by hiding with a gun. So you're sneaking along looking for him, and he's sneaking along looking for you. And then I know that he's over there, just over the top of this little hill covered with birch trees and sort of crappy-ass woods. And so I hide behind the biggest tree I can find, and he walks right by me, and I go, bang! Well, those are the games you play when you're 11. But I do think that Greg had went to, I heard he went to Alaska and became a bush pilot. I hope he did. He probably did. He was my pal. His mother played a slack key guitar. She laid it on her lap and she plucked it and ran a, you know, like a bottle, you know, a bottleneck guitar, right? They play that. It goes, it's wonderful. Well, she had a, I forget what it's called. Anyway, she had something, a metal something or other that she slid up and down over the strings. It was wonderful work. She was a Indian woman. I think she wasn't Cree, because she wouldn't come from that far north. She could have been Ojibwe. Anyway, she played the guitar, and he and I roamed around on Big Chief Island, scaring the pants out of each other. No. But Greg and I did one fantastic thing. I guess we were both about 13 or 14 now. And it's winter time, the lake's covered, it's frozen and covered in snow. It's just, you must look out there. It's not wind blowing. It's got three or four feet of snow all over it. And there's Big Chief Island out there all by itself sitting around. And Greg and I are just out there to raise hell, do nothing. Just walk and see what we can get into. And because snow cats, you know how they are. And so we're walking along the shore of the lake, you know, out a ways, but I'm walking along, and then it looks to me like there's some sort of deer or moose action going up the hill. So we decide to follow that along and see what's going on, because there's big tracks, and it's something large, and it's going up this hill, and it seems to be getting around, and so let's follow it along and see what we can find. So we do, and we climb it up and up through the snow and the trees. I mean, whew. Yeah, well, it's difficult for sure. But eventually we get up to the top, to the ridge there, and we're looking down over the other side. When we saw the most amazing thing. A huge wooden ski jump. A huge skeletal presence with a long slope down and a huge area cleared out at the bottom, but the forest has snuck in on it a bit. And the ski jump was wooden, and it was ancient. So, well, what do you think we gotta do now? We gotta climb to the top and see what's going on. Because there was like boards missing. So, well, when we get up to the top, you know, where the guys were gonna be jumping off into their death probably, and they'd all be standing around up there, maybe old ghosts or something like that, you know, saying, well, how steep is it? Well, it's very steep, and some of the boards are missing. Yeah, it looks like a piano, black and white, wow, wow, and it's steep. Yeah, look at that. And then there's the lippy part there. But if you go past the lip of the thingy, and then you're sailing, the problem here is the wind is fierce. The wind is fierce. Even on this day, it could have been a Wednesday afternoon, we're playing hooky from school, and we're down the lake, and we're walking around, and the wind is pretty intense, and at the top of the hill, at the top of the ski jump, it's even more intense up there. So him and me are looking at each other, and we're looking down this long runway, and we can go sailing off into the woods of Muskoka, Ontario, I would have thought, probably, went sailing right over there. Probably going to carry you down, you know. And then down below, way, way down below, was the lake. And, I mean, it was the sight was beautiful. The problem was, how are you going to get to it, really? I mean, how are you going to... Where's this road that you're going to have to build in order to bring all these people up here? It was a goofy idea. And I think the thing must have been built in the early 1920s, and I'm talking now about the middle 40s, so it was at least 20 years old. And, longer than that, It had been there quite a while. But because the wood looks pretty solid, very solid, really solid. I mean, because the old wood they used was really real wood. But if it was made only like 20 years ago, they were probably using sawdust and stuff like that, and glue, and pretending that it's wood, so it rots away in about two or three years. Now, this thing was sturdy. It was built a while ago by guys who knew what they were doing. And can you imagine being out there? I mean, there was no way up. So they'd all have to go to work. They'd all have to walk up the hill. I mean, they would have gone an easier way than we went. Probably. I didn't. For so long ago, there was no path left where you'd see where they'd chop the trees. They're all looking the same. But, Greg and I were up at the top of this huge ski jump, and standing around just outside the rim where we couldn't see them was the guys who were going to be there and jump. Guys brought up from the city. Put up at the Lost Coast Motel, where they were gonna entertain the ladies and gentlemen of the gentry in a spectacle among spectacles there in the heart of Muskoka, Ontario. There was gonna be a ski jump, and there was gonna be people. And there were going to be entrepreneurs, and there was going to be money, and the Lost Coast Motel was going to add 41 rooms. And everybody in town was going to hate it. Well, we hated it for the reason that in the summertime, Huntsville was a wonderful place. It was surrounded by four lakes or rivers, and it was fantastic. And it was too, because the highway up from Toronto was only two lanes. Well, it was a long drive, really. And so only people who are going to, the day trippers or weekend people, they're not going to drive all that distance, like 4 or 5 hours in those days, just to get up there. So our tourists at home there, they were cottage people. And they lived in the city, and they had nice cottages, and they had boats and kids, and they lived there all summer, basically. The men would go back to the city on the weekends to work, and the ladies and kids would stay there at the cottage And that was okay. That was an acceptable. They came in the Queen's birthday. They'd start going up there to clean the spiders out and get the boats down into the water. But they arrived in July 1st, which wasn't a big day at home during when I was a kid. People came on July 1st and they stayed until Labor Day, and then they all went home. And then we, the local yohos and all of us, we would revert back to our old ways. We don't have to be pleasant to anybody anymore. And the young girls in this had to do with the yohos at the school there, which was us. And we would have to do with the girls that were left. Because the other girls all went to the city. So, society reformed after a small tear in the fabric. So now, about all winter, we had it to ourselves, and we had broom ball. The Rotary Club would have, they'd sweep off a huge area, just on the river there a bit. And, the Rotary Club, they'd sweep off a huge area and shovel it all off, and they'd have broom ball games out there where drunken Rotarians and drunken people stand around in the snow. They'd, you've got to have a drink, man. God, it's cold. It's like the curling rink over there, the curling rink when I was living in Huntsville. It was a tin quonset hut that was warm and had, and I thought you could, I never went in it, although I curled. I curled in Quebec twice. I curled, and we won the Bon Spiel, as they call the thing, twice. But I won two, it was wintertime, I won two turkeys. The prize was that if you won the little Bon Spiel, I was playing for Mansonville, I think, down there in the townships. If you won the little contest, the Bonsfield, then the four players, four of us, we all got a turkey, and I would give my turkey to the poor bugger up the road. And so they'd have broom ball games down there, and everybody would be standing around, and it all worked. It was great. But nobody wanted to have tourists there in the wintertime. Nobody wanted to line up. When you went into McDonald's restaurant, you wanted to have a seat, and you wanted to have a menu that looked reasonable. And that seemed fair enough. And then in the summertime, you never went to McDonald's, because to the McDonald's restaurant, it wasn't that McDonald's thing with the burgers. No, it was an actual restaurant. There was two restaurants in town. There was the Backland and McDonald's. And the McDonald's restaurant was owned locally by people called McDonald, I think. But us young bucks from the Huntsville High School, we went to the Backland, where we, after school, we'd go in there and sit and have drink Cherry Cokes and have fun. I did go to the McDonald's once, though. One afternoon, I played hooky a lot the last couple of years of school. I got my grade 10. Well, that's about all I'm going to say about that. But I didn't go to school much after the age of 16. I went. I had to go. But I skipped out all the time. Simple reason is that in those days, at Huntsville High School, the kids changed rooms for classes, and the teachers stayed in the same room. Well, that's madness, because now you got everybody out there in the hall, and the Wilder boys, they know where the exit is. Suddenly they've slipped out and down the hill and up into the forest, where then we carried on and had a great deal of sport. And but then as I got, I think my last year, I think I was at high school there 4 years, and I got my grade 10, but that was it. One time out there, a gang of us decided to go downtown, slide through the woods and past the hockey rink and down along the river, and pop up downtown and go into McDonald's restaurant and have a cherry Coke in there as a, you know, a little change of pace. And besides, everybody who was going to be hunting for us was going to be hunting for us in the backland. So we're in the McDonald's, Mr. McDonald's restaurant, and we're sitting in there, and I'm feeling safe because the old man had a service station tire shop, which he made a lot of money with because he got into recapping tires after the war. And then and suddenly he had one recapper, and then he had four, and then he had seven, and then he had to move to Rio to have a bigger building to put more guys recapping winter tires. It was a, yeah, that was a good, too bad we didn't get along. But anyway, no, I could, give me a break here. But any event, the old man was really a tough nut. He coached the town hockey team there, the Huntsville Hawks. So I was wary of him for sure. But so we're four of us are sitting in there at Mr. McDonald's restaurant having a cherry Coke and shooting the shit. And I'm thinking the old man, he's up in the service station, probably busy up there making money. And so I'm not concerned about him. And then, God damn it, I look up, and there he is coming in the fucking front door of Mr. McDonald's restaurant. Well, I don't know what to do other than I cannot be here. So I slide down under, I just sink down under the fucking table. You know, and the three of the two guys have their backs to the door, so they don't really know exactly what's happened here. The other guy, because I was on the inside, the other guy, he sees that Jerry Brand is walking down the restaurant, and God, he comes down to our fucking table. Well, I don't know if he seen when he came in the door, if he looked in and saw me, or he was just busy with something else and didn't see me. So I don't even know that I'm under the table. And if I see his boots, I'm familiar with them, and the bottom of his pants. And he's saying to my pals, well, what are you guys doing here? Isn't there school today? You know, and they're going mumble, mumble. And I'm going, oh my God, this is going to be terrible. He's going to kill me. And no, and then he moves off and off he goes, coffee to go or something. He may have known I was there, and he may have been merciful to get a coffee to go so he could leave so I could get up from under the table. But anyway, I don't know if Greg was involved in that one or not. But yeah, and so we were out roaring around, but nobody wanted to have tourists there in the wintertime. And so I don't think the town thought much of this ski jump idea, where we were going to be the resort, the winter resort next door to Switzerland or some other place for clockmakers. Hoy! But, yeah. Well, the guys, it was the guys. Well, entrepreneurs come into small towns, at least they did when I was a kid. And they look around and they say, well, how can I make money off these yokels? And so one of them says, well, all these yokels want to do is be servile and work at waitresses and dog-ass jobs and be humble and civil. That's what, that makes them happy. So he says, well, shit, man, a tourist industry, the very thing for that. He said, well, it's pretty booked in here in the summertime. I mean, nobody's going to drive for 3 or 4 fucking hours all the way up here to Huntsville, Ontario, over a 2-lane highway that's going to make the kids in the back sick as dogs. And they're going to be saying, you got to pull over, Dad, I'm going to throw up. I mean, I myself have ridden many, many times in the back there. We didn't have to have car seats. That would even be worse. But so you're roaring up around the hills and down the vales, and the old man likes to make the thing sail over the top. So he'd put the clutch in as he was going over the top, and we'd just, oh, it made me so, this guy get so car sick, you know. And so yeah, we didn't throw up in the car though. I would not make that mistake. Yeah. Who's going to make the first mistake? We're on our way to Fire Lake. But Yeah, nobody's going to come up there. So these entrepreneurs, they look around and they say, well, what about the wintertime? Look at the hills and the trees. And, you know, they're done with posts here, so we'll increase the tourist industry and they'll all be overjoyed. Why, they could be waiters and busboys and cooks, and why, they could all work away there for the hourly wage. They'd all be nice to us. And we could run the town. Well, by gar, if those fellas didn't go back to Toronto, and they must have spoken about this project with enthusiasm, because they must have raised enough money to go back to Huntsville, rent a couple of rooms or four rooms, what the hell, eh? It's not their money, and go storking around out there on the lake shore, because they figure, well, they got to use the lake. In the wintertime, they got to use it as a road, so they're going to run down the road a bit there and keep looking up on the hill to see where there's a spot where you could do something with, like bulldoze most of it away and build a huge, well, you could have a huge lodge up there in the summertime while you'd be right at the edge of the lake pretty much. And they had plans, they had big plans, but they decided for whatever reason to go for the ski jump part first. They decided to, rather than go for the accommodations and the tourist lodgings, the chalets, the banquet, the whole schmagoski there, instead of going for that, this shows superior thinking at one level. They must have decided to lug all this lumber, all these man hours, all these guys and horses, and I don't even know, they would have gotten it up there in the wintertime probably. They would have sleds and they would have horses and pulleys and stuff, and they would haul all this stuff up. But it must have been really intense labor, really. And it wouldn't have been warm. I mean, it could have been 5 or 10 below in the day. You know, Celsius, I don't know what that is, but it's nippy. And I worked in 10-degree below weather, and I was helping a well driller one time and out north of Parry Sound there, and we were skulking around out in these pastures in like 12 and 15-degree weather, and I was 15 below then, and I was hauling around this equipment out there, and I was sweating like a pig, and it didn't seem like 12 degrees below for me, to me. I was happy to get back in the truck, I'll say that, though. But any event, yeah. So, there must have been a feat. And these entrepreneur fellas, he's saying, well, listen, George, what I think we should do here is we don't have enough money, obviously, so we haven't really cracked the nut yet, big. But you know what's going to be big? What we need is the giraffe idea of advertisement. What do you mean? Well, the giraffe idea of advertisement is this. If you don't have any customers coming into your store, knock the back wall out, put in a giraffe, Gabriel giraffe, standing around in there eating and stuff, and put a sign up for, see the giraffe in the back. Well, you do that, and you're going to have people. You're going to have people lined up. They're going to be, you make more money charging them $5 to see the giraffe than you're going to make. So we got to put a giraffe up on that hillside up there. And you know what it's going to be? It's going to be the ski jump. He said, yeah? He said, yeah. We build a huge ski jump there, and then we bring more investors up here, and they all stay at the Lost Cove. They'll have to expand the motel. I mean, we can't have people with real money staying in that crappy-ass place, and of course the hotel is just booked full of traveling salesmen. Now, one of the things we've got to do right after this is we got to upgrade Huntsville by about a notch and a half. In any event, though, let's focus on what we're doing here, which is let's build a ski jump. Well, okay, if you think that's the idea, to put a giraffe up on the hillside and invite these wealthy guys with money to come up there and look at the giraffe, and they'd say, they can go back to Toronto and say to the wife, Ethel, I've just bought myself a giraffe. And Ethel says, well, where the hell are we going to keep it, George? Well, he says, well, it can stand in the fucking pool. We'll drain the swimming pool and it can stand around in there. Well, I don't know. That doesn't sound like a very smart idea. They're going to poop on everything. Anyway, they can have this conversation back in Toronto. But here, outside the Lost Coast Motel, with a sign out front that says expanding shortly. They're going to be expanding shortly. They got the sign printed up, ready to go there. And the two guys are up front talking. Well, they got their nice suits, shirts, and ties. They're very smart looking. Wear the fedora. There used to be a top coat in the city, which was the one to have. It was called the Benny. And it was a nice wool. It went down just to your knees. Overcoat, double-breasted with big pockets. And it was the thing. People wore the Bennies. And these guys would be having the Benny. You look right away, it comes from a certain part of Toronto where you would want to associate with, and shows that you're a man of distinction and style. And so, and here they are up amongst the crowd at Huntsville, and they are going to make a lot of money for us. And so, that was that. And away they went. And they must have wailed and tarred and feathered and worked and pissed a lot of, well, they must have dumped a lot of money at the beer parlor, I can tell you that right now. Because after slugging it out, I wonder if they kept the workers in any kind of camp out there. Well, yeah. Well, rather than, no, they wouldn't keep them out there. They'd have to let them come to town. They'd billwack them somewhere, rent some empty building, and build some cots. Charge them $2 a day just to lay in this empty building on a cot with your own bedding. And there would have to be a few of them. To build something like that, first you got to get the stuff up there. So you're talking let's say there were two teams of horses and sleds. Yeah, say 10 guys there. Then the carpenters, they'd all have to, there'd be 10 guys there. So you're looking at like 20 or 25 man crew of builders who built this thing. It wouldn't have taken them too long, but it would have been a project for a few months. You know, I don't know whether they built the thing in the winter. They could get the material up there by sled. That'd be a whole lot easier. And then they'd wait for summer to build the fucking thing. So they'd have the same outfit, same crew, maybe 15 guys. All told, they put the posts in and do a little work, and then in the summer, it was long before my time, but it's possible they came in the summertime and then they took boats down there and then they went ashore and they still didn't make the land. They weren't ready. But they built the huge wooden skeletal of a ski jump. Very steep. Then it had a dip at the bottom with a lip. And you were expected to fly out over this huge clearing at the bottom and over the hill and cleared everything all the way down in a huge wide area. All the way down and at the bottom a big old area cleared out also. But there was big woods on both sides of that part. So, and off they go. Oh, we're merrily sailing along. Uh-oh. The wind has changed direction. Uh-oh. Yeah, that kind of stuff. I mean, that was probably in the future. And the guys standing around there, the ghost guys from the old days, they would already know what's going on, and they're hoping that these two young lads, 13 years old, don't get up down there and try to slide down and jump over the empty spaces, because that was a thought that we both had, Greg and I, is that we'd sit on our fannies and we'd hang on to the side and we'd slide down as fast as we could, but then when we came to a gap of a board or two, that we'd have to leap over that somehow. But we didn't do that because Sanity, the ghost there, said, please, guys, don't do that. And besides, one guy goes down, the other guy's responsible for carting his arse all the way down the fucking hill across the snow into town to the hospital. So nobody wanted that, neither me nor Greg. So we didn't do that. But they built the thing, and we looked at it, and it looked like a grand piano. If you turn the thing sideways, there were white keys and black keys. And the white keys were snow, but there was little lines between each board because they were melting a wee bit, perhaps. And then there were the black keys, where there was just straight down, maybe, I don't know, 25, 30 feet into a very steep hillside. No, that would be a Blue Notes for sure. But as we stood there with the ghost staring down at this ski jump that was going to make everybody's fortunes, and then one day the investors came one summer, and they were not happy about trudging and dodging and trudging until they got up to the top, and there was the giraffe, and there they were staring at it. And there they were sweating about 110 degrees pig sweat. And guys were taking off their ties, which was really, you know, I mean, we're talking money here, so nobody wants to look like a bum. But meanwhile, we got to undo the tie, and Ferguson is fanning himself with his hat because it's hot. And then the guys are, well, then I'll make a long story short on this level, they don't go for it. There's no more big hotel going to be built here. There's no nothing. The giraffe didn't cut the mustard with these guys, not to the tune that we were asking for. And that was the tune the only tune you could sing here was Let's Make a Profit at some level. And they weren't going to be doing that. And so suddenly all the dreams of Huntsville wintertime, the coast, the Lost Coast Motel, remodeling soon. That sign's gone. They threw that into the garbage. And Mr. McDonald's restaurant he was a little concerned about the more upscale kind of coffee bars that were going to happen. But no problem there. In the backland, they took in the summer people. And so as we stood there, I looked down and I wondered what kind of a tune this old-timey ski jump piano could play. Would it be Germanic? Give me some men who were hardened men, who were stout hardened men. That kind of stuff. Was it going to be waltzes? The Tennessee Waltz. Oh, my darling, she waltz with my buddy. Is she going to be playing that kind of stuff? It's going to be rap. I'm going to knock you on the nose, and then I'm going to knock you on the nose again. Or is it going to be, we're back on Boogie Street again, and oh my friend, I do recall the pleasures that we knew, the rivers and the waterfalls wherein I bathed with you, and knelt to get instructions. And there I dried your feet. by these instructions, you prepared a man for Boogie Street. Leonard Cohen, thank you. Thank you.